Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for joining us on Primetime. Bharati Jagdish with you on Market View. Now, while gold is considered a hedge against inflation and a safe bet during economic and political turmoil, this isn't being borne out today. Today, gold is failing to garner momentum to the upside in spite of economic uncertainties. No doubt, the dollar is weighing on gold and rising U.S. interest rates are having an impact. So what's next for gold? Well, Andrew Naylor, Regional CEO, APEC, ex-China and public policy at the World Gold Council, joins us now. Hi, Andrew. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for having me.
So, Andrew, we've been seeing gold retreat, or we've just been seeing subdued action of late. While gold is considered a hedge against inflation and a safe bet during economic and political turmoil, give us an idea of why this is not being borne out today, a fuller picture of that.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, the first quarter, it certainly was borne out. There's been a more recent retreat, if you like, but year to date, gold is still up. But I would look at the fundamentals. So if we just unpick it, so first of all, gold is an inflation hedge. The data does suggest that it is an effective inflation hedge, and that was borne out in the past. So if you look at when inflation is low, so less than 3%, the average annual return on gold is closer to 7-8% in US dollars. When inflation is high, historically, so if, when inflation is about 3% or above, the average annual return for gold can be closer to 13%. So the data certainly suggests that gold in the past is an effective inflation hedge. And from all the conversations that we have on the ground, it's still viewed as an effective inflation hedge. But what's happening at the moment, there's a bit of a tug of war, if you like, between the interest rate outlook and inflation. And interest rates, certainly, they are a headwind for gold. They increase the opportunity cost of holding it. When you have income-seeking investors in times of higher interest rates, of course, there are other assets that come into the fore. And as I said, that creates headwinds for gold. So what's happening at the moment is you've got this tug of war between inflation expectations on the one hand and interest rates on the other, and these are kind of balancing each other out, which is why if you look at year-to-date gold's performance, it's been pretty flat. It started the year just above 1800. We're hovering around 1840 now. But on the geopolitical side, gold is a safe haven. It's a physical asset. When you own it outright, there's no credit risk, there's no counterparty risk. And at the height of the geopolitical tensions in Europe and what's happening in Ukraine, in March, that's when we saw a significant rise in the gold price. So I would say that the fundamentals of gold as an inflation hedge and as a safe haven, they're still intact, but there's a bit of a tug of war at the moment between the interest rate outlook and inflation.
Considering that all of these concerns are expected to persist, what's your outlook really on how this might shape up?
Well, it's an interesting question because gold is it's a dual asset. So you have institutional interest for gold and you also have consumer interest for gold. So if you look at all the different areas of gold demand, take central bank demand, for example, they account for about 17% of annual demand for gold. The outlook there, central banks have been net buyers since 2010. That's likely to continue. Consumer demand for gold, so that's jewelry demand for jewelry, for bars and coins, that's been a bit mixed this year. And there are a number of reasons for that. There are certain markets that dominate the retail gold market, and that's China, primarily in India. And what's happening in China with COVID and the lockdowns there, that's had an impact, but that will be temporary. Countries around the world are emerging from the worst of COVID. China will as well at some point. And when they do, I would expect consumer demand for gold to pick up in China, which, as I say, is the world's largest consumer market. The other side of demand is institutional investment interest for gold. And I think the bigger issue here is inflation. There was a bit of uncertainty about, is inflation going to be temporary? Is it persistent? And I think the consensus now is really unfortunate that inflation is here to stay. And as I mentioned, gold has and can be an effective inflation hedge. And so I would see sustained interest from institutional investors, but it's perhaps, you know, a little bit of a tug of war, perhaps a bit more subdued than it has been in the past, until we really see the interest rate and inflation landscape set out for us.
Mm. And of course, as US interest rates rise and other central banks take similar steps in the coming months, that could be further complicated, right?
It could. But if you look at what happens, it usually has in the run up to a Fed hiking cycle is where it really has the bigger impact on the attractiveness of gold. If you look at historically after the tightening cycle begins and when central banks start to raise interest rates, there's usually a time lag of a couple of months, but it's after that the impact on gold is much more subdued, and that's when I would expect concerns really turning to inflation. And I would have thought that there would have been a renewed interest in gold after that. But so there's usually a bit of a time lag. But as I say, historically, after a couple or a few months of the beginning of a tightening cycle, interest in gold tends to pick up again.
Where do gold ETFs in particular stand right now?
Well, it's a very healthy market. So year to date, globally, ETFs are up by 9% year to date in terms of their assets under management. That's driven primarily by North American and European ETFs, which count are the largest ETFs. And North American ETFs, they're up about 10%. Year-to-date European ETFs up about 9%. And they're really a proxy for institutional interest in gold. Gold is a long-term asset. And yes, you do get volatility in the price as you get in other asset classes, but actually gold's volatility is less than most other mainstream asset classes. But we would argue gold, it's a long-term strategic asset. It's an asset that you hold to protect wealth and preserve value. It's an effective diversifier. As I mentioned, the demand profile for gold is very, very unique. There are no other asset classes like that. There's no other asset that's a central bank reserve asset, used in jewelry, used in technology, and is also an investment asset for consumers and institutions. So because of that uniqueness, it performs very differently to other asset classes, and that's borne out in the correlations, particularly in downturns, where gold actually becomes less correlated in downturns. So that makes it quite an effective portfolio diversifier. So taken together, plus its liquid nature, over $145 billion of gold is traded every single day. It's a very liquid asset. So taking all that together, that's really what we would describe as the investment case for gold, and why we think institutions and individuals should think about an allocation to gold for the long term.
Andrew, right now, though, some analysts are saying that as the world moves into a tightening or quantitative tightening cycle, higher rates could generate a rotation back towards bonds. What's your stance on this?
They could do. I mean, this is why we have seen more subdued interest as the interest rate tightening cycle has commenced. But that's usually temporary. I mean, after a few months, the effects of that tend to taper off in terms of their impact on the gold market. But there's still definitely a fundamental role for gold to play in the economy. As I said, it's a very liquid asset. Consumers and institutions can buy and sell it very easily. So, it can be a source of emergency funding, if you like. So there's all sorts of other reasons for holding gold. We would never advocate 100% of a portfolio in gold, of course not. But it's as part of a balanced portfolio, there's a role for fixed income, there's a role for equities, there's a role for gold as well in that.
Then again, Andrew, supply shortages and price increases in the overall commodities market, all of that could positively impact the price of gold, right? Even in the short term?
Well, I mean, gold, it behaves very differently to other commodities. Gold isn't consumed. You can't destroy it. So when we talk about supply for gold, there are two elements to it. There's mine supply and there's recycling. Now it's very expensive to mine gold. It's a long-term commitment. and it's quite stable. So mine supply is quite stable and grows on average at about 1.5% per year. So it has a sort of a baseline limited supply, which actually makes gold unique. But on top of that, there's recycling. So when the price goes up, you often see a lot of recycling, because in some markets, when the price goes up, consumers want to take advantage of that and sell. So we just published our Q1 figures. And if you look at some markets like Thailand, for example, and Japan, which are big consumer markets, when the price goes up there, you tend to see selling, because consumers, they want to lock in those higher gold prices. So supply for gold, it's quite unique in that, you know, when the price does go up, recycling can kick in and take on some of the extra slack.
You mentioned some markets, Thailand, for instance. What's happening in Singapore, though, specifically?
Well, I mean, the first quarter for Singapore was very good in terms of the physical market. So bar and coin demand in Singapore was up, and jewelry demand was up. Overall consumer demand was up by about 18% year on year. So very buoyant consumer market. And that's, you know, that's a number of reasons for that, primarily Singapore being able to weather COVID very, very well. The economy here is picking up, is recovering very well from the worst of COVID. We haven't seen major lockdowns for 2 years, and that's meant that consumer demand for gold has been buoyant. But Singapore also plays, it's a big institutional market. You have large institutional products, gold products available here, and we've seen fairly healthy inflows there as well. But Singapore plays it's more than a demand center for gold. It's actually a center within the gold supply chain. So it's a major refining center. The significant flows of physical gold from major producer countries of Indonesia, of Australia. I mean, Australia is the world's second largest gold producer now. You see a lot of gold coming into Singapore, where it's processed, refined, and then sent to other markets in Southeast Asia and India. So the role that gold plays in Singapore, and the role that Singapore plays in the global gold market is very, very significant.
Thanks very much for that, Andrew. Really appreciate it. Andrew Naylor, Regional CEO, APEC X China and Public Policy from the World Gold Council. You stay safe and take care, Andrew.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.